Hello, everybody. My name is Jake McGrail, and alongside me are Corey Branson, Mike Liu, and hopefully soon, Diana Hong. She's not here just yet, but she should be. Broadcasting live from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the unceded grounds of the Musqueam people. You're listening to Thunderbird Eye on CITR 101.9, always to keep you up to date with the latest UBC Thunderbirds news and stories. This past weekend was more of the same for some of our teams, as golf and women's soccer remained perfect. Meanwhile, men's soccer improved somewhat from the previous week. Cross country took to the track again, and we had our first women's basketball action in exhibition play. After we talk about all that, we will then turn our attention to here in the booth, as one thing we've not yet brought up on the show is that one of our members, Mike, is a trainer for the UBC football team. He will share what that experience has been like for him. And speaking of turning our attention here in the booth, Diana has indeed made it here in time. As she gets situated, we will first start to cover our UBC teams with golf.
Yeah, you know who definitely showed up on time and ready to play?
Gone.
It was our UBC golf teams. We talked a really big game on the program last week when it came to them. And in this, it was their final week of the fall season. They delivered, as in every tournament so far this year. The UBC men's and women's golf rosters secured both team titles at UBC Okanagan's Battle of the Bear, putting a bow on what was a dazzling month of sporting excellence. The program nearly walked away with both individual titles too, but no one's perfect.
I mean, UBC, they did give themselves a bit of a bonus when it comes to trying to get those team titles, because there was actually two teams for UBC in both the men's and the women's tournaments. They wanted as many golfers as possible to make the cut for the and participate here in the tournament. It's the last one of the fall season. So there was both a gold and a blue team for both the men's and the women's.
And like the colors themselves, the competition, it was gold that shone the brightest here at UBC Okanagan. On the men's side, the gold team finished first at 7 under par, 11 strokes better than the Uvic Vikes and Calgary Dinos, while the blue group sat way back in 8th.
For the women, the competition between UBC teams was much tighter, but the competition as a whole was a blowout. The gold team was plus 1 in first place, the blue team was just behind at plus 6, while the third place team, UFV, finished at a distant 23 over.
And we love our mysteries here on Thunderbird Eye, here at CITR Sports. And one of them was how the golf teams released the scores for this tournament. Normally, they are in very digestible formats, very easy to see all of the different scores. But as was discovered this past weekend, there's only scores on a Google Sheet document. And it did not include all of the different scores and placements, unless there's a bunch of people who didn't end up finishing the tournament, which seems less likely than just some faulty record keeping. So we don't have all of the total scores for all of our Thunderbirds, unfortunately.
Well, we do, I think, except for Esther Lee. I don't know what happened. Also, Lethbridge, I don't know if they just left halfway through the tournament or if their scores just didn't get calculated. But the thing about this, and I want to just hammer this point home, is they put it all on the Google Sheet. That's fine. But the way they set it up is like you couldn't copy or paste data out of the Google Sheet. So if you wanted to sort players by like their score, for example, to see which position they finished in, you weren't allowed to do that. You just had to, I had to go through and I had to count the number of people that finished with a better score than each person. So thank you, UBC Okanagan. I really appreciate the effort that you put in to make sure I had to put in the maximum effort.
But what we learned today is that Corey is dedicated for our golf teams. That is that's the silver line.
You only learned that today?
As he should be. Although, we can confirm who the winners were for this tournament. For the women, Elizabeth Labbe of UBC won the individual title, her 5-under total under par, her final score. Emily Lee and Shania Ramambadan split the runner-up honors at even par, meaning the podium was UBC's UBC clean sweep.
Yeah, otherwise, Grace Bell finished plus 3 for 5th place. Una Chu and Sonia Tang carded plus 4s, and they tied for 6th. Bo Brown was plus 8 and 11th. Alyssa Chang was plus 9 in 12th place. And Esther Lee, like we said, she either didn't play in the second round or her score wasn't recorded. She had a good first round. She was only plus 1. So I assume that they just didn't record it.
Yeah, and reminder that Corey did individually go and count who got in each position. So thank you.
Wasn't that bad for the women, because the women are good and they beat pretty much everybody, right? There was like one girl from, I think, UFE that was up there. Sukriti Harjai from UVic, of course, was
there.
Yeah. But otherwise, it was mostly just UBC at the top. But the men, oh, God.
For the men, speaking of, Mackenzie Bickle came tantalizing close to securing the T-Bird clean sweep. His 6-under par got him into a playoff with Calgary's Ethan Banks, just like the Canada West Championships. But the Dino, for the second week in a row, did defeat a Thunderbird in the playoff to claim the individual title at the UBCO Invitational. Russell Howlett met the same fate as Bickle in last week's Canada West Championship, as previously mentioned.
Yeah, Howlett himself did earn a share of the bronze finish at -3. Dylan McDonald tied for 6th at -2. Those are actually the only other Thunderbirds who finished in the top 10, as Ethan DeGraff was 16th. After a rough second day, he finished with a total score of +5. Michael Volk tied for 20th at +7. Bryson Coe's +10 was good for a 30th place tie. Neil Soni was alone in 32nd at +11. And Aiden Schumer and JP Cowlert tied for 34th at +13. 34.
A lot of golfers.
Counted by Corey.
The Thunderbirds are riding a tidal wave of momentum at the moment, but with the changing weather, we've hit the end of the fall golf season. We can only hope that this spectacular autumn translates into an equally amazing spring. With this amount of talent on the roster, we're not too worried.
You know, they should start having tournaments in the snow for golf.
That'd be fun.
I think that would be fun. Have it be some nice exhibition practice rounds and just see how difficult it is.
I would presume quite difficult.
Especially if you put it in somewhere there's actually a bunch of snow on the ground. That would be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I'd enjoy it.
Going to the soccer teams, the men's team struggled out of the gate on Friday as they took on UBC Okanagan at home. They did take the lead late, but they then gave up a goal themselves not too long after to end in a 1-1 tie.
Yeah, the Thunderbirds controlled the play in the first half of this one, but they failed to score in the opening 45 minutes, and that's the third straight game that they've been held scoreless in the first half.
And the game continued 0-0 until the 74th minute, where the teams really treated just choppy play. They couldn't get into a rhythm. But then the Thunderbirds struck, took a corner short to Sam Fletcher. He whipped it in to Chris Fisher, and he headed in his first career Thunderbird goal.
However, the celebration only lasted around 10 minutes, as in the 83rd minute, the Heat scored off a set piece of their own when they whipped in a free kick that was headed home by Owen Spiker.
Yeah, this meant that the Thunderbirds, after the tie, they had just 2 wins from the first 7 games of the season. That is their slowest such start that we have record of, dating back to 2009. It seems like we've said that a few times on the show about the team, unfortunately, of that we have record of in these not as amazing conditions.
They're doing a really good Canadian men's national team impression right now. Not a lot of wins, not a lot of losses, but a ton of draws. Oh boy,
taking on Panama tonight.
It should be good. They did, however, manage to get another win on Saturday. They took down the Heat 2-0. It was another slow start as UBC once again entered halftime with a score of 0-0, and they just had one shot in those first 45 minutes.
And again, the game was looking much like the game on Friday, where no team could really fall into a smooth rhythm. But in the second half, it was a different story as the Heat's Sam McDonald ended up receiving a red card in the 53rd minute. Really opened up the play for the T-Birds, and they opened the scoring. Mackenzie Cole scored a penalty won by Bradley Richardson's amazing pace.
The Thunderbirds then doubled the lead in the 84th when Tristan Enco chipped a shot over the goalkeeper for his second goal of the season. That secured a very much needed win for UBC.
Yes, helped by the red card, UBC outshot the Heat 6-2 in the second half and allowed only 2 shots on target the entire game, not giving UBCO much at all.
Yeah, despite their struggles this season and what we've been chatting about on this show, the Thunderbirds are actually just 3rd in Canada West. Only one other team has more than 3 wins this season. It's the team you'd expect. That's Victoria. They have 4.
Oh my goodness.
I was there all weekend. I'm feeling the Victoria love at the moment. UBC, though, only 2 points behind them with 4 games left to play.
The parity in Canada West is something to behold this year, and the fact that UBC gets off to their worst start in pretty much a decade says a lot that they're still in the playoff race. But next is their last home series of the season against Trinity West, who have the same number of points as UBC, but have played two more games.
And I believe the final games of the regular season are against Victoria.
Yes.
So if they get some sort of wave of momentum going, despite all the poor results we've talked about so far this season, it's still conceivable that they could end up first in Canada West at the end of the regular season, which would be pretty funny. For the women's, it was same old, as they dominated UBC Okanagan, winning both games in comfortable shutouts to move to a perfect 8-0 on the season.
Thunderbirds got off to a fast start on Friday, as in just the 12th minute, they opened the scoring through who else? Danielle Steer. She wasn't done there, though, as she scored again in the 38th and completed a hat trick, in the 67th, as UBC won 3-0.
The Thunderbirds outshot the Heat 15-2 and had 8 corners compared to 0 to their sister school counterparts. Really weren't in danger at all throughout this game.
Both of the Heat's shots came in the second half, and UBC substituted goalkeepers at halftime. So it was Sarah Jones who made both saves, while Emily Moore played 45 minutes and didn't have to face a single shot attempt.
And that is Emily Moore, Corey.
Who?
Emily Moore.
I'm kidding. Gee whiz. Emily Moore, pride of Esquimalt High School. I say it every week. If she had faced any shots, she would have saved them. Who are we kidding?
Easiest shutout that she'll ever have. The second game on Saturday, again a blowout, as the Thunderbirds did one better than the previous day. They won 4-0, completing the weekend sweep with some style.
But then, obviously, we didn't really expect this to happen. I'm saying this with an incredible amount of sarcasm. But it was Steer scored again. Who would have thought? She struck in the 8th minute and then again in the 34th before assisting on Vanessa Tomei's first goal of the season a few minutes later.
This gave Steer a total of 5 goals and an assist for the weekend, and she was deservingly named the Canada West Women's Player of the Week for her immaculate performance. She now has 12 goals in 8 games, tied with Calgary's Montana Leonard for first in the conference. So she's caught up, which is exciting.
I remember last week we were thinking, wow, she's done this well so far, but it seems like she won't even really have a shot at the Golden Boot with how well the Montana Leonard is playing. And then she scores 5 goals in 2 games, and all of a sudden she's right there.
And she took that personally.
The Thunderbirds did add one more goal in the second half as rookie Jay Taylor Ryan scored her first career goal in the 87th minute.
Yes, congrats to her. And overall for the team, this was again domination across the stat sheet. Thunderbirds outshot the Heat 15-4, including 10-1 in the first half as they scored their first 3 goals. This was also their highest scoring weekend of the season with 7 goals over the 2 games.
And UBC has only conceded 1 goal all year. This puts them on potentially historic pace, as the all-time Canada West record for fewest regular season goals conceded is 4, set by Trinity West in 2012. There are 4 games left.
And speaking of Trinity Western, that is UBC's next test, and it'll be their biggest test so far. Trinity Western are 10-0. They're led by Anna Dunn, who is not only 3rd in the conference in scoring with 9 goals, but also leads the conference in assists with 8. She's playing very well all across the board offensively, so a titan for the Spartans.
Yeah, as Corey said, the Spartans are currently ranked number 1 in the country. The Thunderbirds are number 3. Between them is Montreal, who are also 8-0.
So if the Thunderbirds, if they have a good weekend, it's possible they could become the number 1 team in the country as we get closer to the end of the regular season. And hopefully they're able to do that.
And moving to cross country, the UBC cross country teams had their second meet of the season on Saturday. And once again, both men's and women's teams won their races.
Thomas Nobbs once again won the men's race, finishing the 8-kilometer run with a time of 23:53, 3 seconds better than non-university runner Cameron Persevayat. Ooh, I don't know if I pronounced that right. He was named Canada West Cross Country Runner of the Week for the second time.
Yeah, the following two finishers after the runner whose name I will also not try and pronounce were UBC athletes Tyler Dozy in 3rd and Spencer Hardy in 4th, Joshua Kozelge in 7th, and Dylan Ulrich in 8th rounded out a dominant team performance as they were the other top Thunderbirds.
Shout out to Josh. I'm his mentor in the School of Journalism.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That is a flex.
Yeah.
The women's team, again, did not have the top overall runner, but had four in the top seven, which in and of itself is a very incredible accomplishment. They were led by Mackenzie Campbell, who finished third with a time of 28:48.
She was followed by Glenna Sim in fourth and Jamie Hennessy in fifth, with seventh place Kyla Becker and 10th place Zoe Dornsplit, the other top UBC finishers.
Yeah, and the next meet for the Thunderbirds is on October 23rd when they will take to the track in Saanich for the BC Cross Country Championships.
Is Corey, are you offended with the pronunciation of
I mean,
that?
She was right. She was just very unconfident. It is just Saanich. That's my...
Is it Saanich, though?
Yes,
do we
it
really
is.
Know this?
Yes, you it's do. My hometown.
All right. Women's basketball. They also were in action this past weekend. They got themselves a small exhibition tournament playing against UCal Kirktoyth and U Lethbridge. Once this past weekend in Kamloops, unfortunately, the T-Birds dropped all three games.
Yeah, the first game on Friday, it was a close-fought matchup with Calgary. It was tight at halftime. The Dinos were only ahead 34-31, but then a bit of disaster struck.
Oh, yeah. However, the second half saw Calgary pull away and win 78-61, a comfortable margin. The Dinos' Bobby Joe Colburn led the game in scoring with 23 points, while Emily Martindale tallied 14 points to lead the Thunderbirds.
Bobby Joe Colburn is the most University of Calgary-sounding name I've ever heard. That's incredible. The second game on Saturday was a tough one. UBC got smacked by the Pronghorns, 86-52. No box score available for the game, but the final score says all we really wanted to know.
Yeah, and their last game against the Dinos wasn't any better. After a competitive first quarter, Calgary dominated the second quarter. They outscored the T-Birds 23-6.
Yeah, scoring 6 points an entire quarter, that's not really ideal. No. UBC, they did fight, and they narrowed the lead, but it was too late. Calgary held on to an eventual 61-53 win. Kate Johnson for UBC led all scorers with 16 points, but it wasn't enough to secure the win. Hopefully, once the regular season starts, the women's basketball team will be able to get some wins on the board. And now we will take a quick break for ads and PSAs, and when we come back, we will have an inside look at what it's like to be a UBC football trainer from Mike. So get excited for that.
Art and Gift Shop is Vancouver's choicest destination for one-of-a-kind artist-made prints, posters, screen prints, riso prints, paintings, acrylic paintings, watercolor paintings, ceramic mugs, ceramic plates, ceramic bowls, ceramic pots, lapel pins, hats, toques, crochet bathing suits, jewelry, trinkets, knickknacks, hand-painted signs, curated thrift, and a bunch more stuff that won't fit in this designated block of airtime. Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop, located at 1636 Venables, just off Commercial. Open 11 to 6, 6 days a week.
Red Cat Records is an amazing artist-owned and operated record store. Shop from their diverse online music collection and get free shipping within Vancouver and the Lower Mainland with the purchase of two or more LPs. If you would like to further support them through the evolving COVID-19 crisis, you can do so by buying a gift card to use at a later date. Visit www.redcat.ca for more information.
We don't need to tell you that Vancouver has a housing problem.
Mass evictions.
Mass rent evictions.
Unfair rent increases.
What happened to rent control and protection from unfair eviction?
If these or other housing matters concern you, you may be interested in joining the Vancouver Tenants Union. For more information, visit tenantsunion.ca.
Welcome back. You're listening to Thunderbird Eye on CITR 101.9. And as mentioned at the top of the show, our very own Mike Liu is a trainer on the UBC football team. given his unique perspective working with the team, we thought it would be fun to talk about it here on the show. And Mike, can you start by telling us why you wanted to become a trainer in the first place and how you went about applying to the position?
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know, which is probably a lot of you, I'm in the School of Kinesiology. So essentially, what this position is like, it's sort of an extension of what I'm learning in the classroom. And for me, I learned very, very hands-on. And so, yeah, just having the opportunity to put what I've learned into practice and in a setting that I really want to pursue as a career is too good of an opportunity. And so normally there's like Instagram posts and whatnot, word of mouth stuff about these positions. And that's really how I heard about it and just sent an email to the head physio, Scott Fraser, who oversees all this. And lo and behold, I was on the road, had a class just taking us through the basics of first aid, sort of just learning what it was like to be an athletic trainer, looking at anatomy, looking at how injuries happen, looking at how we can best help the athletes in the different scenarios, looking at post-injury stuff, looking at rehab stuff. It was really awesome. And for me, the highlight was learning how to tape, because taping always looks the coolest, you know? Like, that's the stuff you see. That's the stuff. And just having the hands-on practice was great. But, yeah, that's how I really got into it.
What color of the tape do you like using the best?
We always use white tape. But for me, my favorite... Our pro wraps are different colors. For me, I really like the light blue pro wrap. And that's pretty much the one that we almost use exclusively at football. But I have seen purple. I have seen yellow. I don't like any of those other colors.
What about red?
There isn't red pro wrap either. Actually, no, there probably is, but I haven't come across it.
There is.
This is the kind of hard-hitting journalism you expect from CITR Sports.
The colors of the tape is very important.
Yes, yes, yes.
We've done stupider segments in the past.
So when exactly did you start, and what was the experience being at training camp like? Because that was the reason why you weren't able to be on the show the first couple of weeks
yeah.
of the year, because you were just so busy with it.
For sure, yeah. So with the U Sports season starting a little bit later than most years, normally Thunderbirds would have been in action in August already. But obviously, the first game of the season was September 30th. So the training camp was the first 2 weeks of September. It was pretty intense, I can't lie. Like, even though I learned and I had an idea of what to expect, nothing really prepared me for being there. Just standing on the sidelines, just attention fixed on the players, running to go get ice, go get water, doing the taping, sort of thrown into the fire. But it was a great experience. And getting to know the players, especially in the training camp setting, that was honestly a highlight. And I just really, really enjoyed just connecting with all the players, even though Some may be entering just as COVID freshmen. Others have been there for 5 years. Just really awesome all around.
I mean, you already explained like what your roles are, but especially it was nice seeing you work actually when I was our home opener. Just watching him feeding these players with water and taking some photos of it. So like, other than the water and the ice cubes, are there any like, did it develop over the course of the season?
It depends. Obviously, COVID is still a thing, and we still have to be very conscious about it. But in general, our roles for being a student trainer is just helping out with taping, observing treatment, that sort of thing. Just getting the experience really hands-on of what the life of being an athletic therapist is. And it's just really cool, really awesome. And just being able to talk with these players day in, day out, it's awesome.
Anything that you didn't expect coming into this job that's come up a lot?
Oh, God. The amount of... I feel like the time, first off, was something that I was just kind of surprised. It was like... Because my schedule, basically, I get there at around 2:15 to help set up with taping. And I don't finish until after 8:15 at night. Because that's by the time we're done wrapping up, helping players with their ice, with everything else. That was one thing. Another thing was how sweaty the players got. Trust me, after practice, you don't want to be in our taping room. It is not fun.
Speaking of smell, you know what's so funny? After the skating stuff, like when the Zamboni guy was like, oh, it smells so fresh. And I was like, what do you mean? after hockey players, it smells so bad. And I'm like, oh no. I can't imagine how it smells like.
Yeah.
After practice.
Oh,
but
God.
I hope that's not your favorite memory of working with them so far. But what are any other great memories that you have so far with the team?
Honestly, being with them on the sidelines on a game and just have practice, just really making connections with these players and just getting to know them, really. It's really fun, and I really just enjoy talking with them, not necessarily about football, but also just about themselves. It's really great just to get to be friends, sort of, as much as I can in a professional manner, but just getting to talk, really, that nothing beats that, and just the thrill of being at a game.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're going to have to wrap things up to make sure we get out of here on time, but we'll obviously be able to talk to you more whenever there's time on future shows, and I'm sure it'll be brought up plenty of times in the future. But what is your role going to be for the rest of the school year after the season ends?
Well, after the season ends, I'm going to be sort of floating around. Like, teams will need trainers to fill in for them and kind of just sort of either observe treatment from our full-time athletic therapist, Nathan Mel, or we can just go and help fill in for any teams who really need someone to cover for them.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Mike.
Cool. Is that all?
Sounds great. Happy to have you here. Anyways, before we wrap up here, just going to quickly run over what action we have for the Thunderbirds coming up this weekend. Tomorrow, we do have women's rugby. They're playing the Pronghorns of the University of Lethbridge. That is right here in Vancouver. On Friday, as we talked about, lots of soccer going on. They're playing the Trinity Western Spartans, as we talked about. As well, the hockey teams, they have their home openers, their openers Woo! Of the season. And they're also playing Trinity Western, the Spartans. So get excited for that. And then Saturday, oh boy, whole lot going on. Men's rugby is playing the Vikes. That's going to be right here in Vancouver. Softball has a match against SFU out in Burnaby. The football team is back in action playing the Rams. They will be out in Regina for that match. The softball is a doubleheader, so there's a game for that later in the afternoon. More hockey, more soccer against the Spartans later on in the evening. And that's all it. We have nothing on Monday and Tuesday next week because the golf teams are done.
So. Oh, geez.
The golf team's getting some time off for the second semester. And Mike, you don't go on the road for the road games.
I do not. Not this year, at least.
The next year, you'll be there for all of the games?
Perhaps.
That's
we'll see.
Well, hopefully, there will be a full season next year.
Hopefully.
But obviously, COVID, still very much a thing. So we're going to have to take things as it goes. And with that, thank you for tuning in to Thunderbird Eye on CITR 101.9. Besides listening to the show, the best way to keep up to date with UBC Thunderbirds news and stories is to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at CITR Sports. Next up on CITR is The Shakespeare Show. For Thunderbird Eye, this has been Jake McGrail, Corey Branson, Diana Hong, and famed trainer of the UBC football team, Mike Liu. Thank you for tuning in, and have a great rest of your day.